Mark chapter 4. We've been preaching a series of messages on Bible shadows. Very interesting one we're going to talk about. I think it'll be an encouraging one tonight. We sang just a minute ago, in the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 30. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 30. Bible says, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or what with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. Heavenly Father, thank you for this parable. Thank you, Lord, for these shadows that we're finding in the Bible. And I pray, Lord, that tonight, as we look at the shadow of the once mustard seed, the shadow of the once mustard seed, that which you would encourage us, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for outdoorsman camp. Bless the services going there. Lord, bless us as we learn the Bible. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Fascinating, interesting little parable tucked into Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, if you look back at it, is a chapter that has several parables in it. And we read the parable of what is called the parable of the mustard seed. Very interesting, and we'll work our way down to that. But I want to back up a little bit, because I think as Jesus is telling these parables, they all are told in the order that they are, and they cover what they cover because they all build on one another. And I think in order to really understand this Mark chapter 4, verse number 30 through 32, we've got to go up to verse number 21. Now notice these things, and it'll build, okay? And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there's nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, so he first of all starts by talking about a light or a candle. And he said, you know, why would you light a candle and put it under a bushel? And, you know, we sing our Sunday school songs every Sunday morning, very familiar sight at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to see all of the kids in the auditorium doing this on Sunday morning. And hide it under a bushel. Oh no, I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. And the point here is this. Do you have a light? Do you have a light? All right, then let it shine. Well, preacher, it's not a very big light. Well, is it a light? Well, I know, but it's just one candle. Okay, well, if you've got one candle, then light that candle. And if you've got one candle, then don't put it under a bed. Don't put it under a bushel. Put it up on a candlestick. I mean, if that's what you have, you know what? Use it. Use it. And so we start out there. And then we get to verse 24, and it says, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you met, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And so number one, he asked the question, do you have a light? Do you have a light? Well, it's not much of a light. Well, do you have one? Yes. All right, then put it on a candlestick. By the way, it may not seem like much by itself, but you know, if one person, and it's staying light so late, this time of year, we couldn't illustrate it, but if we'd have been here during the winter time at this hour, I could have passed out a bunch of candles. We've done it at our candle night light service before. And you know, you have one person light a light, and in a dark auditorium, it don't seem like much. But you know what? It's amazing when that person's light touches the wick of the one beside them, and next thing you know, they pass it on. Come on, they pass that flame on to the next one. And you know, folks, it takes a little while, but it started with somebody. Come on, it takes a little while, but it started with somebody. Somebody that said, well, I'll hold my light up. I'll share my light. And then, you know what? We start with one or two lights in here. A lot of times I'll have people have the candles, and I'll have two ushers come to from the back, and they got, you know, just two candles, and they'll start on the back row, and they'll just light that person's just one light, and then they'll leave. But the person next to them shares, and the person next to them shares, and the person next, and you know, by the time, and we do this while we're singing, come on, and you know what, before long, I look around, and you know what, everybody's candle's shining, and it's pretty bright in here. And so God says, you know what? Don't worry about what they're doing or what they're doing or what they're doing. Do you have a candle? Well, there ain't much of one. Well, light it. Right. And don't light it, put it under a bed. I'd say, preacher, this is basic stuff. Well, we're heading somewhere. So he starts out saying, you know what? Do you have a light? Then let it shine. And then he says this, do you have something to give? Well, I do, preacher, but it's not a whole lot. And he says, measure it out generously. Verse 24 and 25. He said, listen, and whatever you have, be generous with it. Do you have anything to give? Do you have something to give? Well, preacher, I don't have a whole lot. He said, well, you know what? Take the biggest scoop you can find and scoop it in there and met it out. Because let me tell you what God has a tendency to do, what God promises to do. You know what? In accordance to your willingness to share what you have, he's more willing to replenish it. So that you can share some more, so he can replenish it, so he can share some more. Well, preacher, I don't have much. Well, you know what? What do you have? Then share it. So think of, measure it out generously. God will give you back to you whatever you're willing to share. Okay, so now verse number 26, think about this. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. A lot of that going on, or we're trying to get it going on around here if we could get the rain to stay away. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. The harvest is come. So he says, do you have a light? Well, yeah, it's just a little light. Well, let it shine. Do you have something to give? Yes. Well, preacher, it's not a whole lot. Well, you know what? Be generous with it. Then he says, do you have seed? Yeah, I've got some seed. He said, well, it's not going to do any good sitting in the barn. So why don't you go out there and sow it? And by the way, then watch God do a miracle. And by the way, that miracle, according to what we just read there, doesn't happen overnight. He talks about the man sowing and going to bed and getting up and going to bed and getting up. And you know, it's always fun. I never have gotten past enjoying living in rural America. And I love to see the farmers get in the field around me. And you know what? Back and forth to church, I drive and I pass some of the same fields. And, you know, they work the ground. And then finally, I see where the planter's been out there. And you know what? It don't happen right away, but it doesn't seem like it's very long. And then you got these little teeny sprouts sticking up. I mean, just like little soldiers all in a row. And I just look at that. Now think about where that came from. And then they continue to grow, and knee high by the 4th of July. Forget that stuff. I mean, now it's head high by the 4th of July. Although this year, we may pray for knee high by the 4th of July. And it's amazing how quickly it grows. And folks, do you understand? You know, never get over the miracles of this creation. Because they are evidences of a creator, a miracle-working creator. And next thing you know what? All of a sudden they're putting on ears of corn. Some of them's got two and some's got three. And sometimes you'll see some more. And then they start filling up with kernels. And then, you know what? Pretty soon fall gets a little closer. And you know what? Then they start, come on, turning colors turning brown. And then all of a sudden those ears start drooping down. And you can just about figure pretty soon here comes the combine in. And you know what? It all happened because, do you have seed? Sow it. Right. Sow it. Well, preacher, I don't have a lot of seed. Well, what do you have? Then sow it. So do you have a light? Well, it's not a very big one. Let it shine. You never know who might see it. You never know who might need to see it. Just let it shine. May not be as bright as somebody else's. Who cares? We're not in the light comparing business. Come on now. Bible says that's not a wise business to get into. And so just let your light shine, okay? Your light's not going to shine where my light's going to shine, and my light's not going to shine where your light's going to shine. But if we're all shining, I think that God will see to it that the people who need to see it can see it. You have something to give? Well, preacher, I don't have as much as this person. I don't have much. Well, what do you have? Then use a big scoop. Measure it out. We're getting ready. We're getting there, folks, to that mustard seed. Do you sense it? Do you have seed? Well, I don't have a whole lot. Well, sow what you have. By the way, if you do that, next harvest, you'll have more. Right. Or next planting season, you'll have more. And then you know what you can do? You can be blessed to sow it, and then you know what you can do? The next time, you can have a little bit more. And that works us all the way down to our text in Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 30. Let's read it again, because now all of a sudden he's changing to another parable, but I think the theme remains basically the same here. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? So this is what these parables are. It's just things that we can see and we notice and we can comprehend. And things that are visible, and then it's compared to the invisible workings of God. And so he says this in verse 31, it is like a grain of mustard seed. Now, folks, if you've ever seen a grain of mustard seed, it's probably one of the smallest seeds you'll ever see, you'll ever find. I mean, literally, it would look like a speck on your finger. If I had one mustard seed right there, it would look like a little speck on my finger. And you look at that thing and you think, come on, that's not much. Thank you, Libby. That's not much, but little is much when God is in it. Isn't it amazing what God can take and do? And so you got this little mustard seed, and she said, well, the kingdom of God's kind of like that. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, we're going to get to that. It's got to be sown in the earth. It's less than all the seeds be in the earth. But look what happens once again. God takes something very little. Come on, that little light of yours can make a difference. That little bit you have, if you're generous with it, can make a difference. Whatever amount of seeds you have, if you sow it, you know what? It can multiply, and God can multiply it. Well, you got this one little grain of mustard seed, and you know what? When it is sown in the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is sown, that is so important. But when it is sown, it what? Groweth up. That's exciting to me. Okay, so if you're willing to take something very small and you're willing to sow it, then you can watch God do the miracle. Come on, like I said, come on, y'all drive by these fields. Let's pay attention. Let's take some lessons as we live in agricultural America. Let's keep an eye on these fields around here. Let's watch when these farmers get in. Some of them already have planted some, and then they'll be planting more, Lord willing. And you know what? You think about what went in the ground, and then you think about the little bit that it turns into and the small plant that it seems to be. And then you just drive by, and if you're not careful, we see it all the time, and so we stop seeing it. But man, never get over the miracle of God taking something so small. And if we're willing to sow it, He's willing to grow it. If we're willing to sow it, He's willing to grow it. Because that's what it says here. It groweth up and become greater than all herbs and shooteth out, I like this, great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Isn't that neat? Isn't that wonderful in the context of what we're studying? I got to thinking about this and pondering it some, and I thought to myself, you know what? A mustard seed does not cast much of a shadow. Right. I talked about that mustard seed being right there. Okay, if the sun's shining bright and you hold it up to the sun and you look, and you probably can't see a shadow. Maybe if you took a little needle or something and propped it up on an edge a little bit and just got it right, you might come up with a little teeny shadow, but there's no fowls of the air lodging in there. Okay? And the the way that God uses this story is to help us to realize that, you know what, seeds have to be sown. Well, preacher, it's just a little seed. Well, okay, good. Watch what God can grow it into. I mean, that's what this whole series of stuff is all about. Preacher, it's just a little light. Well, shine it. Shine it. Yeah, but I don't have the platform that you have. I don't have the exposure you'd have. I don't have the opportunities you have. You know what? Who cares? You have opportunities I don't have. You know people I don't know. You'll meet people this week I'll never meet. Just shine. Just shine. Hey, kids, you know what? Your little light can shine too. Your little light can make a difference too. You know, I mentioned the other day how my sister, you know what, before mom and dad started going to church, before they ever got saved, you know, little girl crawls up into her daddy's lap. And we've been watching the neighbors go to church every day. And she said, Daddy, we don't go to church like other people do we? And you know what? God used that little child, come out of the mouth of babes, that little child to begin to work in my dad's heart and finally bring him to the point where he was willing to get his family up, get him ready and go to church. So it may not seem like a big thing. Did that seem like a big thing? That was like a mustard seed statement she made. And look what God grew it into. Amen. Think about that. Look what God grew it into. And think about, come on, think of the fowls of the air. Sorry to refer to you like that. But think of the fowls of the air that have lodged under the shadow of it. Yes, right. Think of all the people all through the years that's been helped and blessed and brought to Christ through Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And we know to God be the glory. Great things he hath done, but God still uses people. And so you think about that, you know, say, preacher, what's the message tonight? It's a real simple one, folks. It really is. You know what? What do you have? What do you have? You got a little light? You got something little to give? You got a seed? You got some seed? You got a mustard? Preacher, I don't even have bags of seed. I'm not a farmer. I just got one mustard seed. And that's what's so neat about this. God goes from a light, and then he goes from something that you can heap out with scoops, and then he talks about seeds, plural. And I can just sit there and think that somebody's listening to him, and they're like, I don't have that, and I don't have that, and I don't have that, and I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not that. And finally, Jesus, before he gets done, says, now let's talk about the mustard seed. And I think there are some people that went, okay, I can relate to that. I can do that. I can be that. And so think about that. So what you have. Think about that. What has God given you to sow? Think about that. Go to John, if you will. Save your place there in Mark. Go to John chapter number 6. And I know this is a very familiar story in the Bible, but I like to read familiar stories. It's amazing when you put a familiar story, maybe something you're over familiar with, that can be a danger, by the way, and you just decide to read it with fresh eyes, the things that you'll find. But here Jesus is in the mountain and he's sitting with his disciples, and you know what? Verse number 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Here's the question, but what are they among so many? Compared to all these people, preacher, this is just a mustard seed. It's just a mustard seed. Compared to what it would take to feed all these people, it's just a mustard seed. But you know, here's a little lad that said, Jesus, you can have it. Now think about that, folks. You know what? What do I have? What do you have? Maybe it's just a little lunch basket. Maybe it's just, you know, I got thinking how many times, you know what? This may be all I have today. This may be all I have. This may be all I have the time to give out today. What is that? Come on, I think when I think of gospel tracts, I went back there and looked at the track rack and I thought, I'm seeing all kinds of different mustard seeds here. And you say, well, preacher, you know what? Just passing out a tract, that's not going to do any good. You don't know that. Why don't you sow it and find out? I told the story recently because I read Jim Beller's biography that his wife and children wrote. And you know, here he was, a lost young man in his late teens, early 20s, and he was a DJ at a local rock and roll radio station, and he goes to the store one day and he comes back and he'd left all his windows down, and somebody took a chick track and threw it in his car. And so he put all his groceries in there, went home, and he picked that thing up and took it upstairs and put away his groceries, took it upstairs in his bedroom and opened it up, read the whole thing. It made him mad. He tore it up, threw it in the trash. He goes to the store the next day. Why? Because he's a single guy. We don't buy a week's worth of anything. We buy what we need at the moment. So we've got to go back now. And he pulls into the parking lot, same parking lot. And you know what? Goes inside, comes back out, starts to put his groceries in. Same gospel tract. Somebody threw in a second one. Scared him half to death. He was Catholic. He thought somehow that God had put the tract back together that he had thrown in the trash. Peered back into his car and it just like he went, whoa, you know. And he took it, threw it in the seat, went home, put his stuff away, went upstairs, checked the trash can, it's still there, thank God, you know. But he says, you know what, I got mad and here it is again. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to prove everything in this thing is wrong. So he got his Bible out and he said, every place there's a verse in this chick track, I'm going to look up in the Bible. I'm going to see if that's what it really says. Amen. Yeah. So now, come on. Now you got a lost man with a chick track and an open Bible flipping through, reading the verses, and God brings Holy Spirit conviction on him, and he gets saved. He gets born again reading a chick track. Amen. Now, here's somebody who had a little mustard seed. Think about that. By the way, he doesn't know who put that in his car. It may have been the same person. It may have been two different people. I have no idea, but God knows. And here's a little mustard seed that someone would just, here's an open window and threw it in there. You know, if this church starts getting calls, Brother Todd has told me he's got a plan to take these things and go up and down the aisle of Walmart over in the beer section. So if you see him in the beer section, he's not buying beer, all right? You know they got security cameras in there, don't you, okay? And he said he's going to fold them up, stick them in the cases of beer, and that way when they get them home, you know, make sure you're using Bethel Baptist Church tracks. I like it. Why not? Why not just take a mustard seed and see what God will do with it? Can you imagine the person that put that track in there, they get to heaven and realize that that was a little teeny seed, the smallest seed, and it went into the ground. And you know what? They didn't even know, but later on it grew up. And the Arnold Baptist Church, come on, in Arnold, Missouri, and all the people they've seen saved, and all of his writings, The Soul of St. Louis, come on, think about it, American in Crimson Red, and the impact he's had. You realize that was just a mustard seed? Oh, preacher, I don't have any stories like that. The person who shared that tract don't think they have any stories like that either, but they do. What are you saying, preacher? Just, what do you have? Yeah. You know, if we're not careful, it's like, you know, if I had this, I'd do this with it. Good. You know, if I had this, I'd do this with it. You know, if God gave me this, then I'd do this with it. Well, what do you have? What do you have? Think about that. Let me say this to our Sunday school teachers and our children's workers, those of you that work in primary church and junior church, you know, you're going to walk in this Sunday, fifth and sixth grade level church. You're going to walk in this Sunday and you know what you're going to have? You're going to look at that lesson, or you're going to look at that sermon that God gave you, and you're going to look at it, and like I am tonight, thinking, okay, this is like a mustard seed sermon, you know. This isn't much. It's just another lesson to kind of keep the kids busy. It's just another, come on, VBS, if we're not careful, you know. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Dawn. Thank you, Ella, for being okay with me putting you down there in the 2 and 3 year olds and 4 and 5 year olds. 4 and 5 year olds! Well, I got this lesson. Well, there was a little 5 year old boy named Jerry Ross. Come on. And there was a preacher's wife named Mrs. Evans just herded us in there. You know, we'd been coming for a while and sitting in Sunday school. It wasn't just that one lesson. It was a lot of little mustard seed lessons. But you know, she just got up on a Wednesday night, and I'm sure she had a busy week, and I'm sure she had prayed over it, and she had this lesson, but she's taught hundreds of them. She don't know that's the lesson that she's going to teach. On two, come on, you've heard me tell the story. I won't go through all of it, but the two Chinese twins, and you know how one of them went to bed, one of them got saved, and one of them committed a crime and murder and blood on his shirt, came running in, and the other one, realizing his lost brother was going to be executed for murder, took his white shirt off, put the shirt with the blood on it, went out the front yard, did this, was arrested, executed for something he never did. And I'm sitting there, it's a little five-year-old boy. What's that, preacher? That's just a little mustard seed lesson. It's just a little mustard seed lesson. And yet it's the lesson that God used to flip the light switch in my eyes. The Bible talks about the light of the glorious gospel. Man, when it shines in and it's made clear, and all of a sudden in that moment you realize when she turns that page, there's a picture of Jesus standing on the cross. And it's by the way, that's exactly what he did for me and exactly what he did for you. He wasn't guilty, I was. He shouldn't have had to die. I should have had to die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. But he took that for me. What was that? That was just a little mustard seed lesson, you know, just a little mustard seed lesson. Hey, you know what? If I'm a Sunday school teacher, I think I'd get excited about this Sunday. Now, preacher, I've taught these series of lessons, I know, but you've never taught it to these kids in this moment at the age they are now, and you have no idea what God might do with it. Every single one of us in this room probably could stand up, and you know what? Those of us grew up in church probably heard hundreds and hundreds of Sunday school lessons, and you know what? Wednesday night type Bible club lessons and primary church and children's church lessons. But you know what? Every single one of us can point back to a handful and said, I remember this, and God did this, and I remember this, and God did this. And the thing about it is, you never know which of those little mustard seeds are going to grow up. And you know what? The fowls of the air. Think about that. Mrs. Evans, I hope she's able to look down. I hope God allows her in that great cloud of witnesses to see, come on, a little five-year-old boy who she touched my life and helped me to see the gospel and understand it. I hope she can peek down for a few minutes and see me standing here behind this pulpit preaching. Think about that, folks. You don't know. Come on, let's just take a little mustard. Preacher, I don't have much of a light. Shine it. Okay, I don't have much of an opportunity or platform. Shine it. Shine it. You never know what's going to happen. I don't have much to give. Give it. Give it generously. I don't have a whole lot of seed. Sow what you've got. And then he gets all the way down to say to the person who said, preacher, you know, I mean, you talk about a candle and you talk about things to give and you talk about bags of seed and all I got is this mustard seed. You know what God says? Sow it. Just go ahead and sow it. You think about that. I think that we ought to sow what we have, but watch this. I believe we also need to sow what we are. Because you know what? The thing God wants more than anything that we have is he wants us. Now you think about that. Let me have you go over to John chapter 12. We're close to that anyway, I think. John chapter 12. I preached out of this portion of scripture years ago up in a camp out in the middle of the cornfields of Iowa, Cedar River Baptist Camp. If I got and put you in a car and we drove there, the last 10 miles, you'd say there's no way there's a camp out here anywhere. And yet there's a camp out there. First time I went out there, they gave me directions. This is back before GPS. And they gave me directions, and I got all the way out there and thought to myself, okay, they're out of their minds because I'm so lost out here. There's no way there's a camp. And I took a right-hand turn, and I went between two cornfields, and I got down there right before the road turned to the right, and there's an entrance, and it says Cedar River Baptist Camp. I said, you got to be kidding me. Nobody is ever going to find this place. And yet that night, 250 young people showed up, you know, and we had camp. And One night, I preached, this was teen camp, and I preached out of this portion of scripture, John 12:23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, watch this, folks. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Hey, I'm glad you got a candle, but without lighting it, then it's going to do anybody any good. I'm glad you've got some resources, but if you're not willing to scoop it out generously, it's not going to do anybody any good. And I'm glad you had those bags of seed in the barn, but if they just sat there, it's not going to do anybody any good. And you know, no matter what seed you have, whether it's one mustard seed or a barn full of seed, you know what? Until you're willing to put it in the ground and let it die, it's never going to produce the fruit that God wants it to produce. So think about that. And so I'm preaching this, you know, very, very basic biblical principle. But you know, when you're preaching to teens, you got to do something. You got to think of some way. How am I going to take this truth and connect it to their hearts and their minds? And so I'm preaching that night. God's given me this message. I jump in the truck. I drive into the nearest town. I find a co-op. I walk in there and I said, you got any corn seed left over? Because we're in the middle of summer. Now all the planting is done. And a guy said, why? And I said, I just need a handful. I just need about 250, 300 pieces of corn. He's like, well, we can find some somewhere back here. And he went out there and busted bags somewhere. They scooped up some, put it in a bag for me and handed it to me. And then I went down to a little corner store there and I bought them little, you know, Ziploc bags. And I sat in my room. Think about this, 250 bags, 250 seeds, one at a time. I'm sitting in there. What are you doing? Sermon preparation. That's what you're doing. And we started by reading the scripture. And then I said, it's going to look like we're taking an offering, but we're not. They're going to come. They're going to pass the plates out. But this is one of those rare times you take something out, you don't put something in. And I had those kids, and they had this little baggie, and they had a little kernel of corn in it. And I said, watch this. Young people, the story's the same. That's your life. That's your life. Okay? And if you want to, by the way, God created us with a free will. If you want to, you can take that seed and you can put it in your little fist and you can hold it tight. You can say, this is mine. I'm going to do with it what I'm going to do with it. This is mine. This is mine. By the way, you may be born again and saved. One of these days, you'll stand up to the judgment seat and you'll say, there you go, God. And I think you're going to be treated the same way that man that was given one talent and dug a hole and buried it and thought that if he gave it back what he got, somehow that was going to please the master. But it didn't, did it? Right. Or you could take that seed, and I told him, and you can drop it to the ground. You can let it die. And you know, simple sermon. It wasn't even a night sermon, Brother Dan. It was like one of those morning sermons or middle of the day sermons. Just one little quick truth to give them before they go off and play. And what was that? Just a mustard seed sermon. Just a mustard seed sermon. Brother Josh, you just keep taking those boys out in the woods and you just keep giving them those little truths because you don't know which one's going to stick. So about a year, year and a half ago, I'm up in Michigan and I'm preaching, and the pastor's wife, young pastor's wife, comes to me and she said, you probably don't remember me. And I said, no, ma'am, help me out. Don't you love it when people say that, you know? You know who I am? Don't do that. Just tell me who you are. I don't know. And she reaches in her purse and pulls out a little Ziploc bag. And it's got a seed in it. And she said, this has been laying on my dresser. Laid on my dresser all during my teenage years. She said, I was struggling what I was going to do with my life. Give it to God, give it fully to God, or keep it for myself. And then I came to... And I made the decision. I took that seed, went to an altar, prayed over it, cried over it, put it in my purse. And she said, I said, God, I'll do whatever your will is. And by the way, the will of God's not the same for everybody. And not everybody that sows their life and gives it all to God is going to end up being a pastor's wife. But she ended up being a pastor's wife. And she said, you know what? I followed the will of God. And she said, I keep this thing on my dresser, but I heard you were preaching tonight, so I took it, put it in my purse. What was that sermon? Just, you know, afternoon sermon. Come on. At some camp up in Letts, Iowa, that nobody can find it. If you do, you may never find your way back out, you know. And and you just, what are we doing here, folks? Hey, bus workers, what are you going to do this weekend? You know, what are you going to do Saturday? Well, why don't we just go take our little light, just let it shine. It's not much of a light. Well, it's a light. It's a light. I'll finish with this. So many things I could tell you, but I got a little text from, me and my wife got a text from a little girl that is down in Mexico, and you've heard me talk about Lydia. Lydia's the one that we wrote the Stay in the Castle book about, and you know, she's a grandma now. My bus kids, my Chicago bus kids are grandparents. What in the world? And she's gotten older. I haven't, but she's gotten older. And little 14-year-old girl, when we met her, just a little 14-year-old girl. Come on, folks, go to inner city Chicago and drive around. When I say there's thousands and thousands and thousands of them, I'm not exaggerating. And so, you know what? This little girl comes and she gets saved. And then she does what every young person does. Come on. Just because you're saved doesn't mean the devil's going to quit and give up, young people. And he's trying to allure her with the world, and he's trying to get her out of God's will, and she's fighting to stay in God's will, but it's not easy. I mean, come on. I came in there on Saturday, spent a little bit of time with all of our families, and then brought them to church on Sunday, but they had to live out, come on, the whole week in darkness. In darkness. And they had to make tough decisions, and it's just, it's honestly a miracle that hardly any of them made it. When you look, when you really go up there and look. But you know what? God's in the business of miracles.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I can remember standing in front of this house that I've got a picture of here, this building. And I can remember sitting on the porch. You can just see the edge of the porch. And on a, you know, on 100 different Saturday afternoons, I sat on the ledge of that porch. And sometimes with another worker, sometimes with my wife, and this little girl sitting on the other side of the porch on the ledge and just talking about what went on this week and just checking her Bible reading and helping her keep up on that, learn how to have a relationship with the Lord and walk with the Lord. And every once in a while, she would start talking about what God was putting in her heart to do. And I mean, here's this little girl in the middle of, I mean, folks, just wickedness and sin and just everything stacked against her. This little mustard seed of a kid.
Come on.
And yet she'd sit there sometimes and the tears would roll down her face and she'd talk about how her family was in Mexico. Most of them still live there. And she would love one of these days to go back there as a missionary and try to win her family to the Lord. And you know the story. The Stay in the Castle story and the devil and the different ways he tried to get her off track. And thank God she kept making right decisions. And by the way, one little decision that she made on a Saturday when God brought the wrong young man into her life, she did not know that that one decision was going to produce a booklet and that that booklet would go across America. This is in 7 languages around the world now. And it's helped thousands of young people make the right decision. And she had no idea in that moment. She made a mustard seed decision and had no idea how it was going to impact the world. And then, you know what, the temptations and the wrong young man comes and she finally trusts godly counsel. Young people, trust godly counsel. Trust godly counsel. Okay, godly counsel. Not people telling you what you want to do, people telling you what you should do. And look at her and just say, I know this is hard, and I can only imagine what you're feeling and all you're feeling. But young lady, if you'll let that thing die, God has something better. And now she texts us couple times every month. You can go back there and read her prayer letter. It just came. Come on, go back there and find Mike and Lydia Lima's prayer letter. Say, where's it at? Right on the front wall. Why? Because that's one of our girls. That's why. Okay. And so just read it. Just read it. Okay. Started 7 churches down in Mexico. Seeing people saved. just this little kid. Okay? It's this little kid. Say, where'd you get that picture? Last time, Brother Levi, I visited her apartment, and we were getting ready to graduate and leave. This was the last weekend I was going on bus calling, the last time I was going to sit in her apartment. And very emotional. I'm getting ready to hand her off. She's not graduated yet. She's not the finish line. I'm handing her off to another bus captain. And she said before I left, she said, is there anything that I could give you? And this picture hung on the wall of her house. And I said, I want that. Would your mom be mad? And she said, shh. And she took it. Her mom probably still wondered what happened to this picture, you know. It don't look that much different than some of y'all. This is a little girl. Come on. Just a little mustard seed of a life. Come on, the average person driving by and passing thousands of thousands of kids living in inner city Chicago wouldn't even give her a second glance. But you know what she did? She said, okay, I ain't much. By the way, she only stands about this tall. She's a mustard seed. She'll watch this. So come on, Lydia. All right. This little mustard seed kid. I wonder what God might do with you. It's one thing to sow what you have. It's another thing to sow who you are. And just say, you know what? The only way I'm going to discover all that God could do with me is I've got to do the same thing with that seed that the Bible says. And that's, I can sit there like this the rest of my life. And you can die on your deathbed and say, there, I never gave it to God. I won. No, you lost. You lost. If you just go like that and drop it, let it die, and you think, well, there, it's dead. And then you come by a little bit later and there's a little shoot. Then you come by a little bit later and there's all of a sudden knee high by the 4th of July. And then you come by a little bit later and that one little seed's produced hundreds of seeds. You know what this is? And by the way, you have no idea the shadow. Come on, that mustard seed didn't have much of a shadow, but once it grew, it cast a big enough shadow for the fowls of the air to lodge in. And there's all kinds of people out there that need your life to matter. So what do? You just take what doesn't cast much of a shadow. You take that little light that doesn't seem like it's much. You take that little bit that you have doesn't seem like much. You go in the barn and say, well, what seeds do I have? And you know what you do? You just give them to God. You take your little lunch basket and you say, I know there's 5,000 men, not counting men and women, but you can have this. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Oh, I love this truth. I love this truth. What a blessing. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use simple Bible study on a Wednesday night. It's just a little mustard seed Bible study. And Lord, we've sown a lot of them around here in the last 30 years. Bless that Sunday school teacher, maybe a little discouraged. That person out knocking on doors that hasn't seen the results they quite wanted to see yet. Or that bus worker that Lord's busy. Everybody in here is busy. But there's somebody out there whose life's going to make a huge difference if we'll take the time to sit on the front step, get them reading their Bible, ask the questions, how'd your week go? No, how did it really go? What can I pray with you about? Lord, thank you for the song Libby asked us to sing tonight, because little is much when God is in it. Take these little lives sitting across the front of this auditorium and all through the auditorium. Take those little lives back in the nursery. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just take the little mustard seeds of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and let them grow up into something that can be used of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.